Our high school guidance counselor used to ask us what you would do if you had $1 million. You didn't have to work. And then invariably, whatever you'd say, that was supposed to be your career. So if you wanted to fix old cars, then you're supposed to be an auto mechanic.
So what did you say?
I never had an answer. I guess that's why I'm working at Initech.
No, you're working at Initech because that question is bullshit to begin with. If everyone listened to her, there'd be no janitors because no one would clean up if they had $1 million.
If I had $1 million...
Talking about millions of dollars.
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
We're living in a material world, and I am a material girl or boy.
Well, what about you now? What would you do?
Besides two chicks at the same time?
Well, yeah.
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I would relax. I would sit on my ass all day. I would do nothing.
Well, you don't need $1 million to do nothing, man. Take a look at my cousin. He's broke. Don't do
if I had
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Rookie on the board. S&P futures up 9, NASDAQ futures up 53, trying to bounce back from yesterday's pretty rough day for those that may want to forget. Dow is down 820, S&P is down 71, NASDAQ down 258. So well into the over 1% on all those things. And here we are today with a little bit of a bounce back. Hopefully it'll stay there and not be at least a dead cat bounce and not go right back down again. But I think we've got some issues. This morning we have Jamie Dimon says, watch out as lofty asset prices add to economic risks. My anxiety is high. There you go. We have Professor Carl.
Yeah, boy, my anxiety is high, huh?
Yeah, well,
You know, at least he's telling the truth about that. You know, it's rather fascinating. This this data dump out of Medicaid that Doge stuck out. All you had to do was a fairly trivial amount of database queries against that. It took about 10 minutes for me to load it into the database system I have here. And this is nowhere near as big as the ones that, of course, the government has, because you know the government has all my money with which to buy computers. All of yours too, Chief.
They seem to have all the money they want to do the things they want, and no money to do the things they don't want.
Well, you know, yeah, isn't it funny how that works, right? But they have very large computers, and mine, by comparison, are very modest computers. Okay, I mean they're still decent computers, but they're by government standards, they're not very impressive. And it took about 5 or 10 minutes to run a couple of quick queries and find things that any reasonable forensic investigator would look at and say that has a 90% chance of being fraud. Now, maybe it's not, but of course the way you find out is you go audit somebody in person, right? You go show up at their office and you make them produce the records, and there you go. And it either is or it isn't. But it's not very hard to find the indications. Now, the thing that that is especially galling about this is that, if you recall, when Doge started doing this kind of thing, everybody on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats both, sued to stop them from doing these data extractions and collecting this information. Despite the fact that what they collected and released has been de-identified. So, and it really has, all right? I mean, I've looked at this, and there is no possible way for you to figure out who a person is that got medical care from this data. Now, you can find out who the biller is, but that's public record anyway, right? I mean, you have to register with the government. That's a public thing. Why did everybody sue to? And ultimately, by the way, a bunch of judges forced them to stop. Okay, so they did. They were forced to stop. Now, what the data shows is an unbelievable percentage of what is being billed back through Medicaid is stolen.
What do you mean by stolen? What they charge is stealing.
No, I'm not even going there. I'm talking about things that are absolutely impossible to have been provided to actual human beings. A single person psychologist who allegedly saw 170 people on average per day.
Now wait,
it gets worse. Home health care, okay, with the number of people seen by a single provider, not a corporate entity, by a single provider, that is physically impossible for them to have possibly gone to, you know, X number of houses per day. It's physically not possible. We're talking home health care now, which is, you know, in someone's house, right? These are trivially discoverable if you look. It's the same problem that you have with E-Verify. All right, you remember the chicken plant that got raided, chicken or beef plant that got raided, and
it was a Tyson plant, wasn't it?
I think it was a Tyson plant. It was in Oklahoma, Oklahoma or Nebraska or something like this, and it gets raided. And it was my first impression on this was, oh my God, they're actually going to go after some employers. Well, what they found was that in fact all the people who were there, they were all illegal immigrants, but they all had run E-Verify on every one of those people. The plant operators had run E-Verify, so they couldn't arrest the plant operator, all right, because they had followed the law. But every one of those people who was working in there was an illegal immigrant, and it was most of the people in the plant were illegal immigrants. They'd all stolen someone's identity. Now that's a felony. Okay, that's not, we can end this conversation about this BS about these people. I just here for a better life. They're not harming anybody. You steal someone's identity.
I have a question for you. How do you? We're kind of two different levels of this, and it's not like one's higher or one's lower, but we're on two different pieces of the three-piece chessboard. You bring up all these incredible things, by the way, and I've never once said you're wrong. You know that. I just came in this morning. I never see a squad car. I saw a guy blow through two red lights and then maybe a third.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you name the topic.
Oh, I know.
Whether it's Look at the difference in the way the British are handling the Epstein people versus here.
Oh yeah, they're arresting people.
And they're
Gee, go figure.
And the king himself, well, he didn't write it probably, came out with a statement that Wayne sent to me. It was basically three paragraphs.
Yeah.
It said, "We're out of this. This is the Justice Department's job.
You did the crime. You're going to do the time."
Yeah.
And
yet at here we have at every single level. We have this going on. Now, the question is, I was not brought up that way. I'm not saying everybody should have gone where the nuns were. I was not brought up that way, that everybody just gets into whatever they damn well please to the detriment of other people. I never knew a doctor that saw 20 people a day and said he saw 50. I don't know where all this is coming from. But I think what you're talking about, you keep and I'm not, by the way, I love hearing it, you keep bringing up different symptoms of the same problem. Why is the problem here?
Well, the problem is very simple, okay? I mean, like, this is the same situation with this thing with E-Verify, okay? I have pounded the table on this having to something that you know, ought to be mandated for everybody, all employers, period. End of conversation. All right, fine. Except what we're now finding is that a bunch of companies, as a defense against being charged under 8 U.S.C. 1324, which they can be, all right, and that's a felony statute, have in fact been running it, all right? Now, here's the problem with this. If you show up somewhere, and, you know, the guy working at a chicken plant, he's a W-2 employee, okay? He gets a paycheck. If you show up and they run E-Verify, they get a control number back, the IRS and the government in general now have 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 people in the system in different places, in different jobs, all working on the same identification numbers, the same Social Security number. Seven of them are fraud. Okay. One of them, what? Now, maybe the guy's got two jobs. That's a possibility.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe two of them are real. But as soon as you see this kind of indication, you send cops to all of these companies.
Well, you don't send cops. The only thing you send cops to, if there's a shooting on the expressway, they all show up to stand around while two people pick up the bullets.
Yeah.
Or they'll show up if you call 911, maybe. It's the entire, and the part that one of the arguments I always have with you, even though we don't necessarily have it, but we'll kind of have it right now. This the same incompetence. I mean, you're
it's not incompetence. Okay, it's intentional.
Okay, you're all over the people that are quote illegal, but we're also the incompetence, and on a lot of it is, why aren't these people citizens? We keep making it harder and harder. I'm reading this here.
Chief, please.
Okay,
the
listen.
The person who's a felon is not someone we right. want in here.
Okay,
as
all right,
country,
right
as
stop,
citizen.
Stop. As of 2022, approximately 730,000 immigrants are veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces.
Yeah.
With roughly 613,000 are naturalized citizens. 117,000 are not.
Right.
Okay. But roughly 5,000 non-citizens join the military every year, while many gain citizens from service. Other than that, sometimes leading to situations where they face deportation. This is a very simple area. Why can't we even? Here's people we got them. We set them the paycheck. We promised them. We can't even do that right.
Well, I don't. You know, I don't know the answer to that.
But I'm saying here's 100 and some thousand people that ought to be citizens. They're probably I'm saying we're just as incompetent the other way. There's all kinds of people. Actually, I asked
Chief, I get that, but listen, I think you keep using the word incompetent, and one of the problems that I have with people who believe that that's all this is, okay, and that that's where this rests, is that my argument is that that's not the case, deliberately not the case.
Why?
Because if you stomp on any of the scams, okay, and you have allowed them to grow for 10, 15, 20 years.
Where's the scam here? This kid goes and your kid doesn't have to?
Whoa. Hold on a minute. If I'm sitting in an office and it's my job to do this kind of thing and I don't do it, that's a scam.
Yeah.
That's not just incompetence, it's a scam. Why is it a scam? Because I'm collecting a paycheck to do a job I'm not doing. That's a scam.
Well, duh. Yeah.
Duh. Okay. Right. That's not complicated. Right. Okay. Now, the problem here that we have in the general sense is that there's two elements of this. There's malfeasance and there's misfeasance, of course, you know, which are two relatives, right? But they're sort of the same thing. The problem we have right now in the system is that we have allowed this compounded function, and this is the point that I've made a bunch of times, and I'm going to keep hammering on it until people...
I know, but what you're hammering on it, but the wees that are doing it don't give a crap about you and me hammering on it. They love it.
No, and until the wees like you and I...
Yeah, well, guess what? We're outnumbered.
Well, okay, that may very well be true, but until someone starts paying consequences for doing this,
okay,
and by the way, they're accessories before the fact.
I understand
it,
but
felonies.
My question is, I've always thought that, and this is my Catholic upbringing. It's not a religious thing, but the law and the government to me has always been, I don't know where it just got explained to me. To a certain extent, there's always going to be crooks in every level, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing of it is, they're not necessarily, to you and I, they're crooks. To everybody else, it's almost, we've reached, I used to say this on the training floor, we reach the point where if you let enough people cheat and get away with it, it's always going to be a few people.
Right.
Let enough people get there, if everybody else gets the idea, this is now okay, and I better join the crook group,
right?
It, once you do that, it's pretty hard to slam the gavel down. I think sort of we're there. I'll give you an example.
Here's the thing, though, Chief. Effectively all of the debt at the national level that we've accumulated, and thus all the inflation we've taken over the last 20 years, has been through this theft.
I'm with you. I'm trying to get to. Nobody who's listening or me is disagreeing with you the fact that you discovered this. Because, I mean, most people, if they open their eyes, they see something like that as well. My question is, why and how do you turn it around? I mean, I'll give you an example. When I was young, I was driving a cab. I was, you know, about to go to Notre Dame. My stepfather didn't help me all that much. But he was a decent guy. But for once, he asked his brother-in-law, who was head of the engineers, stationary engineers at Chicago schools, terrific guy. Of course, get a load of this, Carl. He had that job for probably 15 years. Some guy runs against him, even though he did a pretty good job. A real good job. Everybody liked him. The guy wins. The first thing he does is change the rules so he gets paid. My uncle had the job for like 15 years and never got a dime. First thing the guy does is run against him and vote himself a salary.
Nice.
You got to love it. So finally, so my uncle goes, sure, we always got along real well. He's a good guy. He had six great kids, maybe seven. I get this job, and I go down. I remember I was, what the hell was I? I wasn't even 19. I might have been 17. And they said, no, I go down to this lady. Ann Cranley was her name. And she was in the building, North Dearborn, and I go down there. Go in there, sit down, ask for Ann Cranley, sit down, and tell her that Barney somebody from the Ross School sent you. Right. Now, Chicago's motto is, we don't want nobody or nobody sent, right? Well, I was sent. So I sit on a folding chair. She got this desk. Remember those old metal desks that everybody had one? The thing was piled about. It was up to her nose with every paper from every school in the city. All right, who are you? I'm in Damestown. Who sent you? Barney, somebody, some Rusko. All right, go over to this place tomorrow. By the way, how old are you? 21, which, of course, I'm 17. I'm a big kid. Okay, fill this out. I show up at the place the next day, right? Well, I guess that was... So it's just a summer job. It was 8 weeks. I guess it was, maybe there should have been a test for it. Maybe somebody, I don't know. But the fact is, I was the best guy at every place I went. I got to the point where I could, in the summertime, I could totally redo an entire classroom in a day, stain, varnish, clean, blackboard, right. You name it. And I never once missed a day. And I was so thankful that this happened. And I was able to, when I got back from Christmas, I was able to work, there was always somebody sick. And yet now I see what happened with Madigan's people, with Commonwealth Edison.
Right.
And I see Bob, who was on the air talking about metals. I remember that show to one day. He does the metal coatings. He was talking about he tried to do it in Chicago. And the alderman, he had to talk to the alderman. He tried to upgrade this plant here. The alderman says, I need six jobs. And Bob said, well... What do they do? Well, they're not going to show up. How did we get from doing me a favor and me showing up every day and making sure I was the best guy in the place and never missing a day in 5 years? How do we go from that to not showing up and getting a paycheck? That's what I don't. The first part maybe was a little wrong with me, and I don't know. There should have been a test. I don't know what the hell there should have been, but the fact is, every guy was damn happy to get me. My aunt said. My aunt said, I thank Uncle Jim for this. She goes, you don't really have to thank him. She goes, every engineer loves these summer guys. They always show up.
Right.
they always show up. They do whatever you tell them. She goes, they're the best guys they have. Every guy dies for one of these guys. But how do they get from, there's three jobs there, by the way, you'll never see the guy, and you don't get a check. How could I sat at home and collected a check and not going to work? I could never have done that. My parents would never let me do that.
Well... I don't know.
But it's endemic, though, Carl. What you bring up is something interesting. It's scary. That's why I love having you on. But it's the same subject. Just go from industry to industry and government to government.
Well, here's an example of this, though, okay? So, you have this monstrosity that the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois sold to a former president for $10 at Jackson Park, right?
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's the problem with this. All right. Now, this was, and I remember the great fanfare at the time that the construction and operation of this were privately funded, because this is not formally his library. Okay, so this is not going to be funded and operated by NARA.
What do you mean? I thought it was.
No, it's not.
Why?
Because he bamboozled you again. Okay? Black Jesus lied again and got people to believe something wasn't true again.
Well, where's the real library going to be?
It's in Maryland or something like that. All right. This is his
I've not heard of that. There's a separate library going up?
Absolutely.
Why? Which one can you go get all the papers and all that stuff? Both places?
The real one.
Well, what's the one here?
The one here is his little nonprofit justice center that he's putting up that he has control over, which is not the case for a real presidential library. Okay, because it's run by the records, the Records Association guys, which are the ones that run the real one. So I mean, if you go to Carter's library, it's actually a presidential library. It's outside of Atlanta. All right, this one is not.
Have you ever been to one of those things?
Yeah.
What are they like? I've never been to one.
Well, I actually went in. I had a woman I was dating a number of years ago. She really wanted to go see Carter's. We were traveling around the country doing various things, and we were going to be in the general area, so we went. Okay? And it's a nominal fee to get in. You know, it's like any other museum, right? You know, you pay a small amount of money to get in, and, you know, you wander around. Now, that's the public part. You can also make records requests of it, like any, you know, like any other library, right, for things. So it's basically, you know, a place to point FOIA requests at for things related to that particular president's records if you want to. But the public part of it is essentially a historical museum of the presidency. Okay? And then the things that the person, in some case, I mean, Carter's case, there was a huge section of it of all the humanitarian stuff he did after he left office, too. But one of the reasons I was very interested in going was I wanted to see if there was any mention whatsoever of what he did to the nuclear industry. So I was extremely, you know, and she wanted to go because she you know, was quite a fan of Jimmy Carter as a human, as a person, not necessarily.
Do you have any ideas as to why he really felt that way? He just thought regular people couldn't control it?
Well, he was quite public about why he did it. He just didn't believe that we could do it and not blow ourselves up.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Was there any legitimacy to that?
Well, he had plenty of reason. Well, remember, the man was a trained nuclear engineer.
That's what I'm saying. It wasn't like he was an idiot doing it.
I mean, no, he wasn't an idiot, and he, you know, I mean, he went through naval nuclear propulsion school.
So he worked for Rickover, didn't he?
Yeah, he had the chops.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I mean, there was no question about that. He was absolutely convinced that outside of the military's area of discipline in the civilian world, that we would, that, you know, our cities would glow. And that's why he did it. And he was very public about why he did it. And he couldn't actually shut the plants down, but what he could do was kill the reprocessing. And his expectation was that that would cause us to abandon civilian nuclear power because there was nowhere to put the spent fuel.
How far along?
By the way, that wasn't what happened.
Okay, but the reprocessing.
Right.
Let's explain that, because I remember reading about that in high school. But
right.
What was there something more difficult about that than just a regular old plant that he felt couldn't happen? Or was there any reason to think that way?
Well, the reason he wanted, that was all he could manage. He couldn't actually shut down the construction of the plants. But what he could do was shut down the reprocessing. And it was just due to, you know, I mean, the presidents have limits as to what they can do by EO. Right?
Not according to
I know you don't believe that. But yes, in truth, they do. You know, look, you just had the Supreme Court go spank a guy, right? So, yes, they do. But anyway, he shut down the reprocessing, and it was his expectation that the industry's reaction to this was going to be to close the plants,
right, so
because
there was
nothing, nowhere to put the stuff.
Nothing specific to transporting the stuff to the processing place, processing, and getting it back. There was nothing in there that was specific to the reprocessing. It was just him doesn't like the whole industry.
Well, clearly there is a substantial amount of risk moving, you know, that kind of stuff around, right, whether you do it by rail or whatever, and it'd typically be done by rail. However, that risk exists if you're taking the waste and sending it to, you know, Yucca Mountain or wherever. So, I mean, you can't get away from, ultimately, you can't get away from the risk other than by not doing it at all, all right? And on top of that, he was convinced that we'd have, you know, we'd have not just Three Mile Island damage to plant, but Three Mile Island kaboom, and there's a huge cloud of radioactive crap that goes and destroys the city.
Spore him a question for my bro, because he knows more about railroads, but is there any way, any way you could, or do we have a habit, given the fact that we only have a few railroads left and they're pretty crowded?
Right.
Can you put, you know, I've never seen a train, you know, it doesn't mean they don't have them, where you could put three or four of these heavily armored cars behind one locomotive, clear the track, and go 20 miles an hour and get it to someplace. I mean, I don't know that anybody
That would be stupid. The thing is that these casks, once they've, you know, they've got the stuff in there, even if there's a derailment and a catastrophic,
okay,
you know,
so
train, it's fine. Are you going to be pissed off and have to, you know, but you have to do that anyway, right? Anytime there's a train wreck, you have to clear the,
but
stuff's not going to come out. All right, there's no way. They are engineered and designed to withstand.
You know, there's a big industry there. We could have been those guys. There are people called re-railers that go to these places and do all this.
Oh, no, I know. So anyway, so this thing in Chicago, because we got off that.
Yeah.
Chicago, Obama pledged that he was going to privately, through his foundation, whatever, fund the construction and such, and the operation. And there were two elements to this. One was the original construction, and the second was a sinking fund to prevent the taxpayers from getting screwed by the operating expenses. The
taxpayers always get screwed.
By the way, the second one has never collected a single dollar. The city of Chicago and the state of Illinois allowed him to continue construction, even though he made the pledge and then never followed.
Who signs a check for the construction guy?
Wait a minute. No. He got the money for the construction, but no sinking fund to cover the taxpayer on the operating side. And it's worse.
This sounds like the Bears.
It's worse. The worst part was that, and this is where this was a pure scam, okay, is that the people of Chicago ended up paying, already have paid, and will continue to pay because it's a nonprofit, so there's no income, there's no property tax on this property, okay? So there's going to be no operating revenue in property taxes to cover the maintenance on the infrastructure. Not only that, he didn't pay for any of the infrastructure improvements, the road rerouting, the power, the sewer, all this, because that was a park.
Yeah, that was a park.
None of that stuff was there, all right? So your property taxes.
You know, I wonder if something was there because that was all part of the exposition way to hell back.
Well, not very much.
We don't have Joel yet, do we?
Well, no. Not very much was there, though.
No.
All right, Chief. So the thing is this, is that several hundred million dollars were extracted from the people of Illinois and the residents of Chicago, which went on your property tax bill, for the private consumption of his little justice center. You got rooked out of all of that. And not only did you get rooked out of it to build it, you're going to get rooked out of it for the rest of your lives for the operating expenses because there's no property tax charged on that building or its land.
Sounds like Soldier Field, the Bears.
It's a wild-eyed scam. And the people in the legislature and in the
government. At least he doesn't make $200 million a year like the Hallises do.
Oh, well, guess what? Surprise. You want to bet? Because guess what? The directors and officers of nonprofits quite frequently do get quite well paid.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So the idea that he's doing this all out of the goodness of his
heart. Yeah, but he's not going to be a director, is he?
Well, I don't know. But I mean, you know. Boy, the amount of patronage it's going to fly out of your wallet.
That's what we do, patronage.
Well, guess what? You're getting robbed.
Again, I thought that was the presidential library, so I'm learning something here this morning.
It's not. And I thought so, too, until I started digging into it recently when this thing came out about the infrastructure scam, which I didn't know about. But, you know, I haven't followed the, you know, the construction of this thing. All I knew is that there was a, there, that he did collect money from donors to build the actual building. But I did know that the sinking fund that was supposed to
the revenue to get in the place is nowhere near enough to maintain it.
Well, there's no backstop, because the second part of the promise that he made to the state and the city in order to get the permits, he never complied with, and the city never stopped him.
I would say that if you asked 1,000 people here in Chicago, every one of them, including me, would have said it is the presidential library.
Well, yeah, of course he wants you to believe that. It's not true.
Well, they hid that one pretty good. I'll say that for them.
Well, you know what? This is all part of the same thing, Chief. It goes back, you know, it's all part of the same scheme, right? Is let's find a way to soak the people. Now, you're going to...
You sound like a Casablanca. It's still the same old story, Tales of
Lovers.
You're
going to get soaked in property taxes forever for this, and that's just the way it is.
Well, the last time we did this was at Soldier Field. Now it's not even a landmark anymore.
Well, there you go. So what, anyway, Joel just popped up.
All right, buddy. I'm assuming Kenny's... You know, Kenny might not be in. I'm not sure. Are you going to hang around just in case?
Yeah, I can hang around just in case. And on Friday, you're gonna get me from the car because I'm going to be driving.
All right, well, that's fair. So, SP Futures up 2. NASDAQ Futures up 64. Let's go right to Joel. Joel, what'd you make of yesterday, buddy? It was pretty ugly.
Hey, good morning, Chief.
How are you?
I'm doing good. The old Friday make new highs for the week, fail on Monday trick.
Yeah.
Chief, we're going nowhere fast. We've been in a trading range since the first week of December between 6,800 and 7,000, and spending very little time at those extremes. What I'm kind of feeling now is that we're ratcheting down the trading range. Instead of 6,800 to 7,000, talking S&P here, I think we're ratcheting down maybe 6,700 or 6,900. Don't feel an imminent collapse coming. Of course, you know, everyone loves a good imminent collapse, but just a trading range, and with bombs going off all over the place in AI disruption.
Well, I'm having issues, and I keep asking everybody who comes on, because, boy, if I can find somebody who has the answer, that'd be nice. Maybe it's you. It seems like the internal breakdown is in some of the areas, some of the stocks. I mean, you can't... I'd say 2 years ago, you and I were doing the show, we could talk about tech. We could talk about the 7. And not everyone moved, you know, together in unison, but they all were sort of together. I mean, if you bought... If I had a client that wanted to buy tech, you know, they might have picked 3 stocks out of the 7 and went away with them. But I tell you what, now I've got way more individual stock positions the last couple of years. A lot of people, have come to us more with, well, we still have some people who want to do the just a protected index program, you know, with the spiders or with something like that. But a lot of people now are coming to us for our kind of special niche, and that, you know, we'll take a chunk of concentrated stock and talk to the client and figure out how protected they want to be, and do they ever really want to let it go, and what strike. Nobody else will do that. I'm not saying nobody, but not very few people will do that. But we will. I will. My brother will, because we're good at this. I mean, not many. I don't think you know too many people you would trust a huge chunk of stock to, except maybe us. I mean, so we've had some of these stocks are getting obliterated, absolutely getting obliterated. I'm just happy I don't have any Oracle. What if somebody would have dropped me, you know, a whole bunch of Oracle at like 400 hours? Now it's like, what, 140? Microsoft's gotten obliterated. Amazon was down 20 days in a row. Yet NVIDIA, the earnings this week, is managing to hang in there. Apple's been real strong.
Today, look at AMD up, 2220. NVIDIA down, 230.
Right.
AMD gets a deal with Meta for more chips, right? The spenders.
It's up 11. Yeah, it's up 11%.
444. Yeah. NVIDIA doesn't get it. Down 230. AMD up $22.
Yep.
Also, you got hardware versus software here. There's a very clear distinction. You know, software, you don't need it anymore. Hardware, Micron, SanDisk, Western Digital. There's rotation within sectors. That's very, very violent. And as far as the Mag 7, I mean, I just can't get out of my head. I look at still the top components in the index, NVIDIA, Apple, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, Tesla. I mean, how long is it going to take to rotate these companies out of the top components of the S&P 500? The other 493 are sure as hell doing their work, but there's just such a violent rotation here that could go on. And to me, that rotation is gonna grind us lower.
Well, what Roel Joel said, when he says violent, look at Micron in October. I say October 1st, it was like 165. Now it's 427. Ooh. Oracle, another quote tech stock. Let me see if I can find it here. There we go. Those guys on October 1st were, roughly 300, and now they're 140. So why didn't you tell me to put a parachute at 100 shares short and Oracle at 100 shares long and Micron? I'd be up 50 grand in 100 shares, for God's sake. I've never seen anything like that, ever, have you?
Nope.
And they're both, quote, tech companies.
Well, you also can look at it like, look at what is. Did you see what happened to IBM yesterday?
Yeah. Well, IBM has been one of the strongest performers anywhere.
320 to 220.
Yeah.
At the end of January. I mean.
So it's right down. By the way, you're more of a. It's almost. The low last year was roughly, 221? It's 221. Look at this huge. Where it got up to 310. It went up. It was the strongest stock from probably August through November of any stock on the page. And all of a sudden now, it's back down to the exact 221 it was last April. What does that mean? You're a chart guy, not me.
It means if you're short, yippee-ki-yay. If you're long, I don't know what to tell you to do.
Is this the support from last April? I have no idea. This chart's the weirdest looking thing I ever saw.
You can call it support. I think right now, support and resistance is just so subject to to headlines and perception. The perception in the market right now is, regardless of your PE, like I spoke to someone yesterday. Well, it's trading at such a low PE. Well, the reason it's trading a lower PE is because they don't think the E is sustainable. What Claude is coming out with something. Some kind of program that can do what IBM does. So there's just relentless selling. Whether it's justified or not, you really can't stick around to ask that question because the market doesn't care what you think.
That's the truth.
Market's duty is to inflict the most pain on the most amount of people the most amount of time. And right now, that is what's happening. What about your holders in Bitcoin? Okay, your biggest risk asset of all, right? Where's the bounce? Where's the move back up to 100K, right? You bounced off 60. This market is de-risking at a rate that we haven't seen in a long time. It was overdue. And I'm just, like, to me, I think it's incredible that the S&P cash right now is trading at 68.40. I think it's absolutely incredible.
I do, too. We had Jen Lee on yesterday. He used to work for Accenture, and he's been in this international consulting game for really his whole life after he left Pullman, where I met him. Is there something, without the politics, because you never know, is there the firms I'm talking about is Accenture, IBM makes a lot of their money overseas, right? They've done a lot of work for the Chinese, not saying good or bad, but they have an amazing international footprint. Am I correct? And OMC is one of the biggest international marketing firms. And there's all these firms that seem to rely on international stuff are all getting their ass kicked. Is that part and parcel to the politics? Is it nobody
of
wants?
Of course it is, Chief.
But how do you quantify that? Nobody wants to do business with American firms or what?
There's no way to quantify that. I mean, people are like. With these tariffs and everything, what's going on? I read a couple of weeks ago that the French government, they're getting rid of all Microsoft, they're getting rid of all Google, they're getting rid of all U.S. tech companies. Yeah, there is a revolt. Not only are they selling our stocks, They're not buying our products. Yeah, we want to be internal. We want to be our own independent country. We don't want to depend on other people. Well, there's going to be a rotation. We're going to have to all buy toilet paper and toothpaste and, you know, on our own. And that's going to be the staples, and that's going to be the market. And there's a big reset going on, Chief. And, I try to be even keeled on this show and not get super bullish or super bearish. But at this point in time, individual stock risk is, I'll end it on this. Individual stock, owning an individual stock risk has never, ever, ever been higher.
Because the stocks themselves are high.
What you think you're in or what you own, AI's coming for you. And even if it's a tweet, even if it's something minor, the algos don't care. They don't. Who knows what Claude's going to be able to do in 2 or 3, 5 years? It's a very difficult market here, Chief. And I got to hop.
All right, bud.
I just want to say I'm out next week. I'm out next Tuesday, right. And I'll send you an email reminder, okay?
When are you inviting me back on your show?
I will. I got a scheduler now, and I will talk to him. But I will get you back on in March for sure.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Okay, go Blue. We won't talk about our only loss. Loss is a good thing. Make it a learning experience. Go Blue.
You guys got a good team.
Okay.
All right, do we have Kenny?
No Kenny yet, but we still have Carl.
All right. Carl, you want to pile in with Kenny? I don't know if he told me he was on the road. He's been on TV a lot lately.
Sure. Well, here's what I would say with, Joel was talking about, the whole AI thing and everything else, which is that the hype machine, of course, is teetering, but has not blown up yet, right? And so, for example, IBM gets teeth kicked in, this guy gets their teeth kicked in, those guys get their teeth kicked in. You've got the Elons of the world running around screaming that they're going to put data centers in space and this is going to be the answer to every problem. which, by the way, that's almost as laughable as the nonsense about a permanently stable, no resupply needed base for humans on the moon or Mars. Take your pick.
By the way, did you hear the Mars report this morning? I was listening on the way in. The report on a guy who studies human physiology, whatever those guys are. I won't say a doctor. I mean, he's probably a doctor of some kind. Was saying that people can't or not going to be able to live on Mars.
Well, what have I been saying for how long now?
Well, I think, I forget, I was, honking at some guy in traffic and went through a red light and almost whacked me. Something about if you're there a few months because of the difference in gravity, your legs are going to get amazingly weaker. If you're there more than a year or something, you come back here, you won't be able to hold yourself up. And if it's 10 or 15 years, they said you can never come back.
Well, we don't know. Okay. There's also the question, obviously there will be women in this group that wherever, we go, because, we don't just send men anymore. That's sexist. Men and women have this habit of doing something together when they're not by themselves, right?
How do you do that in gravity, just without gravity?
I'm quite sure that mechanically it works the same way it does here on Earth. And but the obvious question, which no one has answered, is if you bear a child, if you create and bear a child in microgravity, and on the moon it's about a sixth of Earth. On Mars, it's about a third, okay? So it's not as bad as, for example, on the ISS, which is essentially zero.
Yep.
All right? But if you do that, can that child ever survive on our planet? We don't know, all right?
Well, how do you learn to crawl if you're floating around in the air?
Well, you're not floating. You have a gravity environment on either the moon or Mars. Okay,
I'll bet even you could hit a 7-iron pretty far on the moon.
Well, there you go. But the other problem, the generalized problem is that you're going to be essentially a mole because you cannot survive on the surface even with an exposure suit for any great length of time. And the reason is that cosmic radiation and solar radiation, there is no Van Allen belt on either of those bodies. Mars does not have a magnetic field, a magnetic shield around it, and the reason is it doesn't have a molten iron-bearing core, which Earth does. That's the reason our atmosphere did not get stripped and theirs did. All right, so you can't survive for any great length of time. You will take a lethal radiation dose in about a year of being out there, all right, on Mars. And same thing on the moon. But never mind that if there's a solar storm, you get killed immediately if it hits you. Okay, so you'd have to have a shelter where where you can get to very rapidly within an hour or so. And we can detect those that they're coming, but the continual radiation will eventually kill you. So this is, and then the other problem you have, which is extremely serious, is resources. All right, if I'm going to build a self-sustaining colony somewhere, I have to have enough resources that that colony can mine and produce in order to be self-sufficient, right? Otherwise, it's not, period, right? I mean, that's how it works on Earth, too, right? Well, there is a problem there in both of those cases because you have to have breathable air.
Well, that's like in Star Trek, it looked pretty good because the ship had its own gravity. So you looked like you were here.
okay, listen, on Star Trek, the whole thing about Star Trek and Star Wars, of course, is that, science fiction just solves these problems by saying, well, we figured
hey,
out
they
how to...
Hey, the guy there had a communicator, we all got a cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. So, there's things that appear to be, relatively doable from that standpoint, not so much. But
if you imagine it, you can do it sometimes.
Well, sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, sometimes.
But, sometimes. So, there you go.
I wouldn't mind a little phaser in my pocket in case I ran into the wrong person. At least I could put it on stun and have to worry about killing them.
Right.
I would love a phaser on stun for walking around the city of Chicago. just saying. I wouldn't want to kill anybody, but stun would be okay.
Well, or you could do...
God, how many people would you stun a week if you could?
Oh, good God.
I mean, I guess the only problem, yeah. I guess I would worry about it when they fell down, they would whack their head on something, but none of the guys got stunned ever got hurt falling down, remember?
Well, yeah, isn't that funny how that, nobody ever falls backwards and whacks themselves that way and gets a concussion, right?
Oh, yeah, no, they're all, all of a sudden, 10 minutes later, they just got up again.
Yeah, everybody's fine. But, there's at the end of the day, the problem is always energy and then resources. And there just simply isn't enough of them in either of those places to be self-sustaining. And that's the bottom line problem, okay? So can we go there? Yeah, we can go there. Is it practical to go there? No. What happens once you get there? Well, now we're getting into the problem area, right?
Well, I mean, I think it's people consider it's a generational thing that it means that 200 years from now, we're further. I mean, I don't know, but
well, I know what Elon has put out there is that the idea behind this is that at some point, we know, for example, that about every 5,000-6,000 years, we get hit by something like the size of the meteor crater out in Arizona, right?
Well, it'd be nice to have some place to go if something happened here, but I don't see.
Well,
and
by the way, every now and then something really bad hits us, like what took out the dinosaurs, right?
Yeah.
That's and there's proof of this, and that the hole in the Gulf of Mexico, America, whatever you want to call it, is still there. So we know it happens, and if it happens. And we haven't figured out how to get off this rock, we're all dead. So that's bad.
Right, hey, how about, we have a few minutes left, and Kenny and I usually talk about the market. Why don't we talk about the market? I don't know why I'm hung up on this, but I am, Carl, because I've been through, I started in the business when the Dow was 800, right?
Right.
So I've seen us go up and go down like a real lot of times, and I've seen a couple of decades where everybody talks about the market return 7% a year.
Right.
Well, you know what they say about the buy and hold theory? It depends on when you bought it and when you held it too, right?
Right, exactly.
But nobody thinks that, right? So I'm hung up on this idea of margin both direct and implied. And what problems people have with that sort of, when I say margin. And when you think of margin, and again, I think what I try and do on the show with the various people I have, because the talents they have, is look at the world as, you know, six-level chess, not one. Or
right.
With every different guest, I try and talk somewhat on a different level, not because I'm talking down or up to the guest, but everybody seems like there's an expert on some area. And I'll tell you what, I've always been worried about this margin, real or implied, really since I got in the business, and maybe even before, because people in Chicago, that's all they taught about. When you look at the FINRA numbers, January 2026, which is the last number I have here, we're $1,279,000,000,000, which is by far a record. You know, so
right.
regular margin, if I were to say margin, what's going to pop up on everybody's brain is, okay, what's margin on individual stocks or indices or those kinds of things, any kind of ETFs. If somebody wants to buy 1,000 IBM at 222 instead of 3-something, they could buy 1,000 shares at PTI or any other brokerage firm, because the Fed, you know, described, you can't compete on this. You got to send us a check for 111,000 if we're paying
right.
222. Now, when you slide down, but that's kind of not what I'm concerned about. I mean, I am concerned, but the futures side, there's margin there, and it's totally different. It's a lot more,
right?
More margin. It's a lot more, shall we say, volatile, because the margins on the futures side are roughly a fifth of what they are on the security side.
Oh yeah, I mean,
you know, it's unreal. You know,
ten to one leverage is not at all unusual in the futures at all.
But yeah. If you compare us to before 1929, and I'm not saying we're going to do that. Matter of fact, I sure as hell hope we don't. There, 7% of the people in the country owned stock. Now, an awful lot more of people own stock. And you could easily have picked some wrong stocks. But if you didn't, and you were in the indexes in the last 15, 20 years, a lot of people have, you know, if they didn't have to take it out for medical or for their kids or whatever, you have a 401k or an IRA that is somewhat of a backstop to you, right? So, and a lot of people have made decisions, I think, that aren't necessarily margin, because you can borrow against your IRA, or not so much your 401k, but you can borrow against your IRA. You know, you could come here and say, I think, what do you do for down payment, you do for medical, whatever it is, but you're borrowing against yourself.
Right.
And, you know, not going into that, besides my brother knows way more about that than I do. But you can do that, but my question now is, how many people have gone out and bought the $80,000 truck on time, knowing that their fallback position is they've got $800,000 in their IRA from the years? I mean, there's like an implied margin. I went out and I bought, you know, I went out on a limb and got a bank loan for all the windows in my house for $25,000. But don't worry about it. If I have to, I can just pull it out of my IRA. That sort of thing. And I think there's a lot of that going around. And as a matter of fact, Nancy was on yesterday, said she's had a couple people, and she doesn't do second mortgages. She heard of a couple people getting second mortgages on their house to buy Bitcoin a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's not a surprise.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm saying wherever this stuff is, there's all this kind of implied margin, or not implied leverage, or whatever you want to call it. And I think, I have a feeling, Kyle, that number is really high. And that very few people's income actually covers their expenditures. Unlike when I was a kid, when people made $100 a week, lived on 90, and put 10 in the bank. In a lot of ways, they were more financially secure than some people are today.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I'm kind of worried about what happens. I mean, normally when a market runs up, you know, 40, 50% like it has in the last 5 years, you would think, Mortimer, that if it just dropped the same 40, 50%, you're back where you started from. My experience has been absolutely that is not true. You're way worse off if a market runs up 50% and then drops the same number than if it never happened. And
absolutely.
But you know what? You believe, most people have no idea what I'm talking about when I say that.
Oh, well, what's even worse, Chief, is that, you know, you have people that are like, oh, you know, if it goes down 50%, it'll, you know, if it comes back up, it'll be 50%. No, it has to double.
Yeah.
Okay. And the thing, you
let's not go into people's inability to do math these days, but
well, where do you think all the problems are? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you go there. All you're gonna do is aggravate yourself, right? But
right.
But I'm saying, I don't think I've ever seen like Jamie Dimon talking about this way. He is. I'm worried. I shouldn't be worried about the market. Because if the market went up 10%, it goes back down 5, you say, you know, okay, it's I'd rather have it be up 10, but it shouldn't like make the hair staring up on the back of your neck. But now I think if we have a correction down a third or a half of the way that we actually went up, I think we got real problems. I can't quantify it, and I don't want to sound like, you know, Chicken Little either, but I think we do have problems if that happens. And all you do is look at all the people on the show talk about their different stuff. Nancy, you, and the things you're worried about. What if all of a sudden the mess we're in, it gets even worse? You know, I mean, right. I don't know what, I mean, Trump.
Chief, it's gonna get worse. And the reality is that the exponential nature what I led with and what I've been talking about for a long time, the exponential nature of any kind of so-called compounded growth thing. I mean, where have you ever heard a corporation or a government that doesn't, you're going to hear it tonight, the so-called State of the Union, growth, 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 growth. Always, 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 right? But as soon as you hear that word, what that really means is exponent, 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 yep. Right? Nobody ever takes it that way. And the problem is that means that if there's any kind of inefficiency or scam, it compounds. And if you do that, it's like I was pointing out in the podcast I did with my daughter over went up on Saturday. If you start with 10% of something being a scam after 10 years more, and you've had no real actual growth, all you did was you had the 10% expansion is the expected expected growth amount. You've ended up with about 1.75 again what you started with, and oh, by the way, there wasn't any expansion in actual good, whatever the good was that you began with. All the expansion was scam.
Well, we have
so now the majority of what's being spent is stolen. Now you do this over 30 years, and it's 17 times as large.
Well, I'm gonna,
and again, you haven't had
I agree.
Good.
I mean, the creep on this all of a sudden stops being a creep.
Well, it goes vertical because that's the way all exponents are.
I mean, let me ask you. I mean, nobody's even mentioned this, but all the incredible people and going back and forth on the tariffs and all kinds of stuff. And I've never been a tariff guy. I mean, people are stunned if they think that just about all of my economic views are on the Republican side of the aisle. And some of my humanitarian views are maybe wandered to the other side a little bit, but I always want those to be temporary. If they don't work, we'd get rid of them. So
right.
I'd say, you know, politically in a normal world, I'm pretty much right in the middle. Maybe a little to the right on money stuff and a little to the left on other stuff. So I don't know where that puts me, but I mean, I don't know why we have these incredible debates. This guy, for back to 1982 when he was on Dick Cavett, somehow has it in his mind that sneaking tariffs by people, which is essentially, to me, nothing more than a regressive tax to virtually anybody who's ever had a day in economics. He can BS all he wants about the other people are paying. The fact is, it's a massive regressive tax on our people. And he's trying to get away with it without running it through Congress. Because guess what? The Republicans for decades have been anti-tariff. Reagan all the way on down. So okay, but he blows this by everybody. Well, now, you know, the Supreme Court, rightfully so, says, hey, it's a tax. If you want to do this, you got to get Congress to say so. And maybe he can. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. But the fact is, that's the correct, now he's going to try some other way. But the part that I'm kind of missing here, Carl, is the number from President BS is $660 billion. Okay. They're in the hole $1.3 trillion a year. Now, it was never going to be 660 because the guy's never said, you know, a true word in his life. But say it was half that. It was 330. if all of a sudden there are no more tariffs, God help us if we have to pay the stuff back, which I really hope Congress says we don't pay it back. They could do that. I don't see them doing it, but they ought to.
I don't see them doing it either.
But, I mean, this is a bleep storm. Just leave it. Leave the dead dog lie if it's me. Because guess what? You and I are never going to get a dime. So anyway, let's leave that alone for a second. But if there's going to be no – by the way, they're still collecting them, you know. But the if there isn't going to be the half-president BS number of 660, the 330, they got to raise taxes. And maybe the same – rich people, they dropped them on before, and I know there was some stuff in there for regular people, but nobody's even mentioned that. But how do you not, if you did this to buttress the tax cuts you did on the other stuff, if this thing blows up, which it should have, how do you, unless you get Congress to pass some tariffs, which I don't see happening, how do you not go back and take the other stuff back from everybody else? And we're broke, for God's sake.
Well, we're pissing off
everybody who's lending us money. I can't imagine what's going on here.
Well, yeah, and the serious problem that comes along with this is that as I pointed out when this decision came out, and by the way, it's already starting because FedEx has already filed suit.
All right, that's another question. Hal can pile in wherever he wants, but how does FedEx feel that they are harmed? They pass it right through. They're distributing company.
They may lose on state. This is going to be where the problem is going to come from. Okay, is that you and I, when I bought something that was imported during this period of time, the price was higher because of the tariff, right? Now the problem is I don't have standing to sue. All right, now I think FedEx probably gets hit here too because I don't think that they're going to be able to establish standing. However, the entity that got hit with the tariff, the overseas entity or the U.S. entity, say Amazon or Walmart, they absolutely have standing. They're going to sue, and they're going to demand a summary judgment.
But their harm is what they paid minus what they passed on.
Chief, no, that's not how it works.
Well, that's the way it ought to work.
Well, but that's not how it works. They're going
screw up in our legal system.
I'm saying you have no standing, but they have standing. So what's going to happen is they're going to get a windfall. It's not going to get past you. You can't sue Walmart because you don't have standing. They're going to, and this is why the market skyrocketed.
That's why I want Congress to say we're not giving it back.
Well, you need that to happen. And by the way, Congress, this has been to the Supreme Court, so Congress can do this.
Yep.
They can retroactively impose those taxes.
Temporarily. Okay. They could say up until last week.
Well, but, yeah, okay, but I'm saying, but they don't have the ex post facto problem with a tax that they do with a criminal law, all right? They can bring that, that has been to the Supreme Court and ruled constitutional. So they can do that and fix it, but they're not going to. You know they won't.
Right.
But it needs to happen because I guarantee you what's going to end up happening here is you got it in the keister. As it stands right now with that decision as it came from the Supreme Court, you got it in the keister. The company is going to get a windfall profit. That's going to hit.
Bottom
line. They're going to force the refund out of Treasury. It's going to be $150 or $200 billion that's going to go directly on the deficit because Treasury is going to have to issue in order to pay it. And the inflationary impact of that is going to be enormous.
Well, I don't understand this whole thing that, well, as you listen to the president tonight tell you, no inflation, everything you listen to.
Oh, that's such crap.
Okay, but did you see the Home Depot thing today? I mean, I would hope that our listeners and maybe other people in the world, here's the key points from Home Depot. Home Depot's sales fell, but it topped Wall Street's earnings and revenue expectations for the fourth quarter.
Right.
Now they're evaluating the 15%. What that tells me is they've raised prices.
Of course they raise prices.
But how do you not read this and not know that? So they're making more. It's like the cars. We don't ever want to.
By the way, not only did they raise prices, but now they're going to get $50 million worth of forced ejection out of Treasury. And that's going to drop to their bottom line next quarter.
Well, right. And then so the idea that Amazon pays the tariff, which they do. I don't see where FedEx actually pays it. So that's a part. Maybe
FedEx collects it, but then they have to remit it. So I don't understand how they have standing.
I don't get it either.
I don't think they have standing. Let's say,
you know, I was listening this morning. Some firm, they actually went and testified in front of Congress, and they make guitars.
Yeah.
And the lady went in front of Congress, and she said, these tariffs are killing us. Evidently, there's all kinds of little chips and stuff that are in guitars, electric guitars now. And she goes, well, these things have all doubled.
Well, it's not just that. It's also the wood, which for the most is generally highly specialized species, and most of it comes from overseas.
Yeah, she's saying, yeah, you're in. Pile in, bud.
I've been listening in, and I had a really weird night. I was awake from like 2 in the morning till 4, and then I fell asleep. And my alarm clock is Metallica's For Whom the Bell Tolls.
God.
And I was in a deep sleep, and the alarm went off, and it really made me...
Well, that's a new...
It jolted me awake, right?
Well, that's a new part of... That's not For Whom the Bell Tolls, it tolls for thee. Well, alarm clock absolutely does toll.
Well, it starts off with Time Marches On, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But I was listening to you guys, and here's the interesting thing. The Supreme Court didn't say anything about what to do with all this revenue they've collected.
No.
It's going to get litigated, right? So you have 9 lawyers on the Supreme Court who have pals and buddies in the attorney field.
Right.
And guess who's going to make most of the money off this whole thing?
Oh, god-awful
lawyers.
Yeah, a god-awful amount of
money. I'm going to say Clarence.
To me, it's just a kickback to their buddies in the lawyer field.
I'm going to say some of those guys in the Supreme Court have no buddies.
Well, they're all attorneys.
Who do you think Clarence Thomas hangs around with?
But they're all attorneys. Come on. Well, they don't say anything about...
Carl, you're the guy. Where's
money they've raised?
Where's Lou?
They're going to leave it up to lawyers to figure out in front of
the
judges. So this is a pretty big win.
There's a name for what?
Don't they get 1/3 of all the winnings?
Well, it depends. This is what Carl and I. There is actually a name for something like this where Congress could pass. It's not a law. It's some. They've done it before where they could say, okay, we're not going to do it going forward.
Yeah,
they can codify executive
orders, yeah.
Well, no, they could say we're just not paying anybody back.
Yeah.
We're going to stop the tariffs today. We're not going to.
Right.
But it's not called, there's a name for
it. I don't think the Democrats will ever agree to that. No, they will not. There's not going to be an agreement, and so that's not going to go anywhere.
I'm not so sure about that.
I don't think they'll do anything to help this president out.
Yep. That's
honestly,
exactly.
I don't think it's a question of helping him out.
It's wrong.
Chief,
I agree. Hey,
Chief, they don't care.
He can cure cancer, and they're going to criticize him for it. So.
I'll bet.
There's nothing he can do or say to get them to go.
All right. What I'm saying is, I'll bet the Democrats or whoever don't know as much as we do right now that if Amazon gets the money, they have no obligation to pass it through. If they heard that, I think that even the Democrats would say, "Then what's the point?" I hope.
I'll tell you right now.
I think it's going to get litigated. It's going to be tied up in the courts for 2 years.
Chief, any win, the Democrats are not going to do anything that gives...
What makes you think the Republicans don't want our Amazon to get their money back?
Well, I'm not saying they do. I'm just saying I don't think there's a...
I think Trump could get the Republicans to do it, but they need about eight senators because of...
Because of the filibuster.
Paul.
Right.
Yeah, they need 8 senators, roughly, in the Senate to get anything passed. So I don't think they're going to get any help.
Now here's the
I don't know. Can they use the nuclear budget option?
So here's the thing. What they could... So yes, Hal, that is where they could go, is that they could put it into a... Now, you can only use one reconciliation bill per session, okay? But in the next...
Can they just define a new session?
Well, no, but what...
They close the session and open a session?
But what they could do... is, you know, they had their big bag of barf this last time around, right, which was done through reconciliation.
Oh, yeah, those big bags of barf are pretty...
Right, well, but because this is a revenue matter, so only revenue-related things can go in reconciliation bills, but because this is a revenue matter, it could be put into the reconciliation bill if they were to bring one up and pass it for this next section.
I think the only way Republicans go along with that, especially the quote-unquote free traders, the only way they go along with it is if Trump promises to refund it to the American public during the election year. That's the only way I think they go along.
But he can't do that. It would have to come out of Congress.
Well, no, Congress is going to say, "Hey, look, we're going to do this, but we got to give it. We're going to give
okay,
it."
Okay, guys,
GOP signing the check.
But here appear to be the facts. All right, which you guys have just said, but now we're wandering into Democrat Republican. The facts seem to be that
politics matters. On this.
Okay, I understand that, but if you went out in front of Congress or Carl today and said, here's the deal. If we could find a way to get every last person, you and I and Carl and whoever else, if anything we bought in the last year was higher because of that, if we got our $3 back on our $200 purchase, everybody probably would be in favor of that. But the fact is, it appears we can't do that. So if anybody says, okay, here's what's going to happen. Amazon is going to get $1 billion, and oh, by the way, nobody who bought from Amazon is going to get a dime. That's a whole different. I don't think even the Democrats are going to say, I don't want to do that. What's the point? I mean, just because they're Democrats doesn't make them morons. I mean, they say, wait a minute, I don't want to do that.
It's not that they're morons, Tom. It's just that they don't want to give.
I'm saying if they understood what you guys seem to understand, and I think I do too, that you're never going to get it down to every man. The idea of going through the mechanism becomes less likely, is all I'm saying. I mean, it doesn't mean they aren't morons, but you know what I'm saying? Right now, regular people think...
I have a pretty, quote-unquote, high opinion of, with a big smile, of all politicians.
So. Okay, but, hell, right now, regular people somehow think they're going to get a nickel back from this. Once they find out the answer is no...
they might get a nickel. They might get enough to buy a Big Mac.
I'm saying, that once they find out the answer is they won't... I mean, if Home Depot ends up getting $10 billion, it's not like you're going to walk in there and give everybody a $100 gift certificate. It's not going to happen.
Tom, I've been a part of two class action lawsuits, and I think you got like maybe $2.
Hey, I just got one.
I think I got $2.50 back from one of them or something.
You know what?
I
just got $31 from one.
Well, all right. That's actually Tom, that's about as much as it takes.
That's how much it costs to buy coffee in Chicago, right?
Well, you know what it's for? Get a load of this. One of the places that I have a doctor at Loyola Hospital. Somebody somewhere must have hacked into Loyola's medical records.
Right.
And somebody had a class, and they sent me this thing. Hey, do you want to sign up for a class? And I go, all right. and I did. And all of a sudden, I got this, a year later, I get this check for $30. I'm going, wow, where did that come from?
That's like finding $20 in the laundry machine.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm saying, I don't know, it's kind of crazy. But, I mean, I thought it was going to be for like $1.50. I'm going, $31, that's a real check.
That's actually pretty good for a class action lawsuit.
And plus, I don't know where my stuff went. Plus, I don't even, what did I go there for, a blood test? I don't really give a crap if somebody went to Loyola and nobody had a blood test. I mean.
Well, if you don't remember what they did, I don't think you want to dig too much. I've been watching this show called Orphan Black. And these doctors come in at night and put the clone asleep, who might be married to some guy in the suburbs, and they do all kinds of probes on him.
God, what are they?
Ask too many questions.
What are they probing? Bend over, hoping like that. Not that kind of.
Oh well, they're probing certain orifices.
Oh God! Oh,
medical probes.
You know what? If the aliens come, this sounds like something out of Independence Day.
Yeah.
You know, I have a problem with all those alien invasion movies, because aliens are not going to be ideally suited for Earth. And if they have the technology to terraform Earth, then they certainly have the technology to terraform Mars, right?
Well, they also have the technology.
They can block...
They also have the technology
to block the solar radiation.
Or just blow us all to hell and be done with it.
Well, what was the movie where they all died of bacteria? All of a sudden they all died? What was that one?
Yeah, we're not... I mean, if we go to a different planet, I'm sure there are some viruses there that would wipe us out, you know.
Yeah, what was the name of the one here where all of a sudden the things are up in the air and all of a sudden they just all crash? What the hell was that? I've seen the ending scene is classic in movies. The things had the ship with the thing and it looked like a big nose coming out of the ship. And then they're all buzzing around, like killing everybody, and all of a sudden they all just crashed.
Well, the best space science fiction, in my opinion, is The Expanse and Space Odyssey 2001. Just right. Incredible.
Well, 2001 is pretty much the only science fiction movie I've ever seen that actually doesn't cheat physics.
Yeah. Well, Star Wars movies, as I've gotten older, they've just pissed me off. Honestly.
Well, the
a giant worm on an asteroid. How does a worm get that big when there's no organic material to eat?
Now, these are the kind of questions you're not supposed to ask, you know.
Yeah, well.
I think the classic one regarding human nature is The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Yeah, well.
But just the idea
that was a remake of that in the early 2000s, right?
The idea that the guy shows up in this saucer. He obviously got here from another planet, so the guy's got some chops, right? And all these idiots pull up in their police cars with their six guns trained on the guy. We'd do the same thing today.
we'd, wouldn't we?
We'd have the SWAT team out there with their vests on going, what are you idiots doing here?
Yeah, they'll have this advanced technology, and somehow we're able to defeat them.
Yeah, all the guy comes out, and the big, what was it, the robot's name, Gort? All of a sudden, he just melts everybody's.
Keanu Reeves' remake of that, right?
Yeah, but the original one was classic. Yeah, so classic. But God, it showed up Washington back in those days. Talk about a period piece, huh?
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is watching Airport 77 with Charlton Heston, where the cockpit gets opened up. Oh, they're flying over Salt Lake, and Salt Lake is like Lewiston, Idaho, the airport. It's like tiny. I think they have maybe one jetway, you know. That's it. It's crazy to watch those old films.
Well, I think one of the reasons why I bought the whole, I don't know, was it 3-4 seasons of Crime Story?
Mm.
And I haven't watched them necessarily. I mean, I know how it ends, but just the filming of Chicago. It was like a history of the city in there, driving around all these different areas. You go by a corner now that I can remember. Hey, there used to be a gas station. There used to be something there. Nobody has any, the pictures of the old Las Vegas movies. You're like, God, that was Las Vegas. That's what it looked like. I mean, it was nothing.
It was just
if you don't have movies or TV, how do you even know what stuff looked like?
Yeah,
I mean, it's we have the State of the Union now. We were way down yesterday. Now we're.
I already know what they're gonna say.
Why not? I mean, it's
everything's fine. Oh, economic growth, no inflation.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how do you? I think you
don't worry about the debt. It's 37 trillion and growing. No big deal.
By the way, if you're playing the drinking game with this one, and you don't care about getting like totally trashed, anytime you hear the word beautiful, you must take a shot.
Yeah, that's like Robin on the news. How about I Met Your Mother?
How about every time? What's the over under on these sports things? What's the over-runner going to be, and how many times he says Biden?
Oh God, I don't know, but I'll tell you what: if you really want to get wasted every time you hear Biden, you have to take a shot. Now in that case, you better have 911 on speed dial for the alcohol poisoning because you're likely to get it.
Well, you could be like the girls downstairs, the bartenders, when they have a shot with a guy, they only have a little tiny cup and they only fill it like halfway, so you get
a
couple
little creature cup kind of things. Well, we've got the we've got those moonshine places here, and if you go in there, they do these sample deals, and they're all little preacher cups.
what I'm interested in finding out is if when the president celebrates something that's legit, something that like legitimately good news, like the American hockey team beating the Canadians, and the Democrats don't stand up and clap. That's the kind of thing I'm looking for, because that happened a lot last year at this time, where
you're gonna bring this
kid who wanted to be a cop, and he has like cancer. And they stand up for the kid.
you know that's going to end up happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's why I watch, because I want to see
that kind of churlish
between these two parties.
Oh, that kind of churlish stuff is going to be all over the place.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's good. The Americans, Canadians, it is kind of bizarre that the goalie on the American team plays for a Canadian team. I was talking to anybody left in the world that's an amateur?
Well,
not even AAU, man.
AAU, oh no, you know what? One of the worst examples of it in this Olympics is the chick who's playing for China.
Yeah.
Right. And she's, you know, she's a Chinese, she's an American, but she's a Chinese representative. Yeah. It's, and then there's the other Chinese, you know, both of these have are
the ice skater.
One of them's intertwined with Tiananmen, and you know, I mean, within the family and all this. So, all right, so you got all this backstory. But the funny thing is that in the middle of this, what comes out is that China has paid her this girl that's skiing for them millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Okay, so essentially she's a
and she won't comment on the atrocities of the Chinese Communist Party.
Well, of course not. For $6 million,
now when the Democrats say we have a president that's authoritarian, an authoritarian wouldn't let you do something like that. Authoritarian would, you know, a country's authoritarian when that country is guilty of all kinds of atrocities, and the athletes are not allowed to speak. In America, the athletes talk left and right about the atrocities of this administration or the previous administration. They talk all the time about it.
Did you miss the part last week where the Fed came out and said, by the way, it's the same article I sent to you guys, that 94% of the tariffs are being paid by people here. And the Fed came out with a paper first.
They said, by the way, this guy should be punished.
Yeah, disciplined. Yeah. Disciplined.
Disciplined. Yeah, was the word.
That's not authoritarian?
Well, how do you...
who should be disciplined?
The people Fed. Who wrote the paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, the people who wrote the paper. They should be disciplined. Now, of course, disciplined is, you know, all right, what's that really mean? Well, I don't know.
In America, it means you don't have a job.
Well, maybe.
Well, here's the thing, though, Chief. All right, so, I mean...
You don't go to jail.
Who knows? That's the next step.
Well, how do you go to jail?
That's the next step.
Once
you get down this road, it's hard to stop, by the way.
Previous administrations have actually put journalists in jail.
Yeah.
They put people in jail for lying to Congress.
Okay.
They went onto airplanes and shackled a former economic advisor to a president.
Are we gonna arrest some people here like they're doing in England about this Epstein stuff?
Previous administrations have done that.
Well, arresting people for diddling little kids is not something I have a problem with.
Little kids, no problem.
I think we're gonna find is... Well, the world moves forward, and hopefully we all are with the world and healthy, and if Stacks and Jacks move forward.
A billionaire from China spoke out against Xi during COVID, and he was disappeared. Nobody knows what happened.
I'm not comparing us to China yet.
Yeah.
That's
how you know that it's not authoritarian, because people can say and do whatever they want in America for the most part. You can't do that.
President,
you can't represent China.
We have a president that calls
people. European countries.
We have a president that calls people out personally. He's not Z, but he's down that road, Al, and you can't tell me he's not.
Okay, well, you know what?
Name calling is one thing, but throwing people in jail and disagreeing
with
people.
When you talk about people not being American and those kinds of things.
Well, but those were just words.
Okay.
Right?
Somewhere when you were in. Somewhere the young Hal should have read. What was it?
When I grew up, it was sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. So it's just words.
Will no one rid me of this troublesome priest? Oh, man, you guys killed him?
Well, nobody's killing him, Tom.
Yet?
Just saying bad stuff.
You know, Chief, you have people, you have jurisdictions in this country right now where you will be dispensed of your ability to earn a living. Because you call someone who's a man.
Yeah.
That happens right now.
I don't want to circle down into what if Biden would be worth. Tom, there's a story about a high school teacher in New York State who was asked to be the advisor, the faculty advisor, which is required for a high school club. She was asked to be an advisor to TPUSA student organization. She was fired for that.
You can pull everything you want out of there.
So you have to be outraged by that. Too,
okay,
Tom.
I'm outraged by the guy who's in the White House, thinks he's a friggin' dictator and wants to be. That's what bothers me.
He's not a dictator.
Hopefully,
he's no worse than the priest.
Bull!
He's just as bad, Tom.
Did Biden put his name and shut down the Kennedy Center?
No, but what Biden did do is try to force you to take a shot.
Trump did as well.
If you take it, you lose your job.
Okay, wait a minute. Where did the shots start?
I oh,
Well, you, Biden was opposed to him before you never heard he became president, and then he now, was
who, okay, I mean, Hal is so anti-Biden. Who gave seven companies?
No, I'm generally opposed to all these guys.
Chief, excuse me. When have I ever made excuses for so-called warp speed when I said all you're doing is warping into a black hole?
I was opposed to Trump's effort on the vaccine.
Okay. All right.
I agree with Kamala and Biden when those vaccines were being pushed at record speed during 2020.
By the way, Kevin,
agreed with those two.
By the way, Kevin is,
to become president, they take credit for it.
Kevin wants me to ask you on another drinking item, how about nobody has seen anything like it?
Oh, yeah. Oh God. No. Listen. All right. Look, I have several bottles of very high quality liquor here because I refuse to drink cheap booze. If I'm gonna go ahead,
I'll be drinking shots of milk, guys.
Well, if I'm gonna drink, I'm not gonna drink stuff that's gonna give me a screaming headache the next morning. Okay.
Yeah, so, my nickname is Two Beer, so I can't do any of that.
Yeah, my days of doing that, you know, were when I was in college and didn't have any money, and then you know.
Well, I got my nickname in the Navy, so I've never been one that can handle alcohol.
I'm just saying, but I'll be damned if I'm going to do never seen anything like it as a shot. I don't think so. That would you would have, if you stuck a camera outside my house, you'd see the ambulance rolling.
All you'd see is your arm flying up and down.
There you go. That's it.
I assume you were listening in. Let's kind of scoot back since we had a horrible day in the market.
Well, I was
yesterday.
Kind of in and out of a lit review. I'm writing a research paper that I'm presenting in Auburn, Alabama.
We're having a kind of a somewhat lofty discussion for once in our life regarding where exactly, if you look at, like, Jamie Dimon this morning, his anxiety. If you look at the margin issue, not just of the government, that's right. And one of the reasons why I really don't want to pay these tariffs back is because I think they need the dough. So I mean, I'm saying. So, and I really, and plus, the last thing I wanted to do is go to.
No, what we need is to scale back spending.
I understand that, but
we don't have a tax problem. We have a spending problem. We need to starve the beast.
We need to lock up all the scammers, and we wouldn't have that.
We have
problem.
A very serious.
Hey, Tom, I'm opposed to all taxes. I say we only use one tax. We have one and only one federal tax.
We have
a VAT.
I understand.
Or a transaction tax.
We have a very serious tax problem in the sense that we're not. Taxing all of the stuff, which is
but a tax is a tax on
consumers.
Who's it's leveled on.
Okay,
it ends up being passed on to the consumer.
I understand. We're talking about different levels, but I would like to see a few different things change with the tax.
Well, I think we ought to set up a tax system like New York State and Illinois, where none of the NFL football teams remain in the state. That's what I'd like to see.
You know what I don't understand is with what they did to the Super Bowl guys, right? They went out there to play. I don't understand why any of them actually got on the plane and went.
Okay, I'll back up.
I would have boycotted the game.
I would have showed up on Sunday.
I would have said,
"Hey, I'm practicing in Idaho this weekend."
All right.
I would have been F you.
First of all, I think that article was wrong in a couple spots because they have some people that I don't think.
Well, they have a jock tax.
Okay, I understand that. Okay, but
I think New York does too, don't they?
The game, it's not a jock tax. It actually works for other people as well. If you're a high-end consultant and you spend 4 months in California, you got to pay tax out there.
Well, okay, so I don't have a problem.
Well, I would work remotely.
Well, now hold on a minute, Chief. Now I used to write payroll software for people. Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, the first money I actually made programming a computer was jailbreaking a borough's bookkeeping machine and changing a city tax rate for Detroit. All right, literally the first money I ever made. I was 13 at the time, for crying out loud. All right, but I have what I've never seen, and I don't, and I do question whether or not the reporting is accurate on this. But if it is,
let me ask you this: February is 2026. The other money they earned was 2025. So whatever you do, it's on your 2026 return, not your 2025.
But he'll be
paying that on his return for next year.
If he's out of a job, he gets cut.
I don't think he's out of a job, Tom. He's got a contract.
Well, here's the thing, though, Chief. This is the problem I have with this. So the way this was presented, now again, I don't know if it's actually true because I haven't read the California actual law. Okay, but the way it was presented is that. If you set foot in the state of California and you play the game, all right, not only are you taxed on the money you made for playing that game, okay? So whatever percentage of your salary or bonus or whatever have you for playing the game, but you are taxed on a percentage of your entire year's salary. Now, that is absolutely unconstitutional.
No, it's not.
Because they, yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I'm sorry. You did not, you are not a resident. They don't have personal jurisdiction except when you're present.
But Tom, you're okay
state.
With tariff taxes and you're,
no,
you're not okay with
no,
tariff
I don't,
taxes.
I don't want, I don't, you know, I don't want people to
Tom,
piss on my shoes and
tariffs,
tell me it's raining.
All tariffs.
All right,
all
let's just let
all
me say
taxes.
Something. Let me say something. You can be a total ninny, which neither one of you guys are. And I could say I'm hiring Carl for his research abilities, and I'm going to pay him $40 million a year, which maybe he could be worth, boy, if we had enough money to manage that much.
I'll take the job.
Okay. But yeah. not even I would be stupid enough to say, oh, by the way, we're stopping December 15th. So Carl's working the last week in California. We don't pay for the month of December. We only pay for the first 11 months. And the state of California is going to say, wait a minute.
No, hold on. No, Chief, that's not how this is being
presented. Yes, it is.
And again, no, it's not. Here's the thing. If I am performing labor in a jurisdiction or I reside in the jurisdiction, then that jurisdiction has jurisdiction over me when it comes to taxation.
Yes.
Okay? Now, the problem is, if I don't reside there, if my legal residence is under the state laws, and you know, there are rules on that, all right? You have to be, you know, a certain, you know, 181 days in somewhere to claim residence in that state, whatever have you. If my legal, let's say my legal residence is in Florida, and I qualify under Florida's statutes to have my legal residence there, and I've got my homestead there with my residence, I get the homestead exemption tax, you know, from my property taxes, everything else. All right. And then I, for 3 days, go into California and play a football game. During the time that I am present in the state of California has personal jurisdiction over me.
By the way, they were there the whole week, but go ahead.
Well, okay, so it's a week. Okay, so during the week that I'm present there, the state of California has jurisdiction over me because I'm physically present in
right.
the state. I have nexus. They have no, you know, the legal term for this is nexus. All right, they have that. They do not have personal jurisdiction over me for the other 51 weeks out of the year, and they cannot tax me on the other 51 weeks.
Okay, it's the same job. How's
it doesn't
how, oh,
matter?
Oh yes, yes it does.
Where
yes,
do
it
I
does.
Perform the, where do I perform the job? The fact that I set foot in the state of California to go to Yosemite does not mean that the state of California
okay.
can tax me for the work I do
okay.
here in Tennessee.
Why are you guys... the idea of fans... I had an argument with a guy the other night talking about how they should make these guys pay 30 games a year because they have the power to do so. The guy made... What the hell did the guy make last year? $25 million. $25 million divided by 52, the guy makes $500,000 a week.
Okay.
I mean, don't say that the day you played there, we only paid him $5 for
no,
that
no,
game.
No. He makes this. No. He gets paid on his. I'm assuming.
The article was all about that the quarterback did not get paid by the team that game. He only got his Super Bowl bonus, which was 100 and some thousand, and they.
Well, that's a load of crap. Listen, that's garbage.
Well, that's what the whole article was about. I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, what I'm saying, like
the,
I said,
the
I don't know.
Tax taxes I don't know. His salary for the entire year.
They
percentage of time.
They,
not just the game
they,
bonus
they,
check.
They,
but his salary for the entire
no,
year.
No, they taxed him for the fact that it was a week in the season. Not just the bonus.
Chief, I don't have a problem with that. Okay, so this guy.
Well, then what are you arguing about?
No. This guy makes $5 million, okay? He's there for one week, right, to play the game.
Okay.
All right, wait a minute. He's physically present in the state for 1 week.
Yes.
That's $96,153.84, plus the bonus that he got for playing that game. whatever that number is.
All right, the outrage.
Like 150,000.
Okay, well, you guys
so,
are
so, so-called 150 grand.
You obviously caught this out.
Now wait. Now the state of California can legitimately assess him on $246,153, and their tax rate for personal income is something like 10%. So he owes him $25,000.
The guy got paid over the course of the season something like $1.5 million a game.
Okay.
And the outrage of the article was he didn't get paid anything for this game. If you believe that, I got a bridge for you.
Oh no, that's crap.
Well, that was the entire upshot of the article. He didn't get paid.
Let's agree to disagree and just say, but hey, no, Cal,
hell, listen. If you listen to what I'm
incentive not to play a Super Bowl.
Okay,
if you
listen to what I'm talking, that I might agree with, by the way. But there's, if you listen to
why
what
why would you want to play a football game in California?
Okay,
we're
stop,
gonna do that
stop.
To the players.
If you listen to what I'm saying, the outrage in the article was that the quarterback, he actually doesn't get paid, because the way these guys pay people, they chop your paycheck up into 17 weeks, and that's what they pay you for. That's their decision, okay? But so the idea is that the dummy fans, which you guys aren't, is he actually doesn't get paid by the Rams for this game. He plays for free. And oh, by the way,
that's
since
bullshit. Well, that's BS.
Okay, so the article was he got paid $175,000 or something for winning the game, and the state had the nerve to charge him like $185 or something, whatever it was. So he actually lost money, and I'm going, wait a minute, I don't like the way California does this.
$150,000 is an excessive tax. I don't care how much money you make.
Hell,
$150,000.
If you listen, when California first did this, okay, if you want to listen to my show.
By the way, it's probably the reason why LeBron James didn't play basketball in New York City.
The thing is, the creatures I have on the show just argue with me all the time anyway because they like to. Now, if you listen to a show like 8 years ago, I talked about Phil Mickelson was still a real player. And I said, when California first did this, by the way, Hal, I'm trying to agree with you, which is always very difficult. when California first did this, I said, does anybody realize that if he actually won a golf tournament like on December 31st in California, how much this was going to cost the guy?
Yeah.
And by the way, I had all the numbers in front of me. I gave an incredibly good argument, I thought, at how stupid this law was from California. Just regular. And guess what? Matty Weber was on the thing. We must have got 15 tweets from people and 3 calls saying, I don't like Phil Mickelson. Screw him. He deserves it.
Well, see, that's exactly the
But it's not a matter whether you like
him. I understand that.
$150,000 is a lot of money to pay for a football game. I don't care how much money you make.
I know that. But I'm saying the dude ended up these guys make a boatload of money. By the way,
how does California get, what, 3 Super Bowls in, what, 10 years?
Because they got nice weather. Duh.
Well, but you can. Hey, the Bears.
Oh, you don't have
the Bears played in Detroit.
States.
Okay, how many have been in Florida, Arizona, and California?
How about we have a Super Bowl in Seattle?
Everybody, the owners, guys, the owners, all these people want to go to L.A. They want to go to Phoenix in the wintertime. They don't care about us.
They go to L.A. whenever they want.
I'm just saying, the hangers-on to get to go.
It's not the 1950s, Tom.
The hangers-on, I got news for you. The president, the senators, all the people that go to these damn games and sit in the side-by, they don't want to go to Detroit. Duh. Yeah.
hey, why not? You got an indoor stadium now. Think about the economic boom to Detroit for having a Super Bowl there.
If
the NFL was truly worried about racial harmony, they'd want to play a Super Bowl in Detroit. Under the dome.
I'm just saying.
So what the NFL says about all this racial justice is just a bunch of empty words because they don't really care.
Carl, when I say how hard it is to agree with, let me say it. Now, Hal's a professor. Now, he lives in a nice place, Carolina. You know, they don't get snow. They don't get. Oh, actually, they get snow.
Oh, no, we got snow.
And we wouldn't buy a shovel. If I were to say to you, Hal,
was going to buy a shovel, but they were sold out and it wouldn't arrive for.
Hal, you've reached the spot. Now, PTI all of a sudden is, you know, we're big swinging dicks. We're Merrill Lynch. We got a box at the Super Bowl. And I were to say, Hal, you're one of my best guys. We'll even bring Carl with you guys. Go argue in the corner. And I'll watch you.
Oh my God!
Yeah, I mean, I can either say we're going to a Super Bowl, and I'm paying for all of it. We're going to New Orleans. We're going to Phoenix. We're going to L.A. Or I could say, we're going to Minnesota. We're in the middle of winter.
I'd go to Minnesota.
You would, but nobody else. Everybody else wants to go to the other places. You'd be the only guy there.
You know what, Chief? In either case, you would set a record for a Skybox's liquor bill.
Oh, God. I agree.
Well, for me, you would set a record for milk sales or milk spending.
I've seen you have a cocktail.
I drink a gallon of milk.
You had a cocktail at the series, as I recall.
Yeah, but one.
Yeah, one there is enough.
Well, I might black out, seriously.
So, Carl, would you say
I've been known to black out.
Managing this show is a little like herding cats?
Well, yeah. Hey, listen, my cat likes me, so.
Yeah. God. Hey, Hal, opine in on this. If you listened earlier on this leverage stuff, we've got whatever Democrat, Republican. We have a guy who's insulting people that seem to loan us a lot of money. I don't know that I would insult people that loan me money, but my personality.
Yeah, it's amazing. You look at yields, and you would think that yields would be rising, but they kind of fell and they're kind of stabilized. So I don't know what's going on. It gets to the point where, you know, what really is true and what's really not true, and there's a lot of hyperbole out there. And
well, I think the numbers that we're borrowing are true.
And, yeah, I know. Yeah, but somebody's buying it. Somebody's buying this stuff.
Yeah, they are. I mean, you imagine if anybody ever showed it. See, the thing that
that might just suggest, Tom, that maybe it is bad here, but it's probably 10 times worse everywhere
else. Stuff happens to you, right? And I know that you've talked eloquently about stuff that happened to you when you were in the Navy and how it affects. How you think and everything the rest of your life.
It does. Yeah.
I mean, the stuff that you got, in the Persian Gulf, and it's so damn hot. I mean, I try and feel for you and imagine what it's like, but I really...
It wasn't just the heat. It was the humidity. The humidity was just unfreaking believable.
Well, I mean,
I've never been exposed to it before.
Because, obviously, you guys, I treat you all like brothers, for God's sake. Ones you'd argue with all the time. But I can't... I've tried to put myself in that, what it even would feel like, and I can't. But when I... Robin and I... We used to be in the half-ass remodeling business. We'd buy a condo and we'd fix it up and sell. Back when the condo craze was going on. And the first time...
Before all the changes in the mortgage laws.
Yeah, we did like... this is in the 70s. So we did like two houses and like two condos. And we went through a whole routine of getting a regular mortgage, which was easier in those days. The fees weren't as high, but still, there were fees. And then we fixed the place up and sold it in 6-8 months. So finally, I go, Robin, is there any way? Well, now Robin is a big shot at Pullman. She's in the Treasury Department, and Pullman's got, a bunch of banks, and Robin had a terrific credit rating, and, I wasn't making that much, but I had a few loans on stuff, and I always paid them back. So she went to, I think it was Continental, who was dying to get into Pullman stuff, and I think we got a bridge loan. I know we got a bridge loan. I think it was Continental. And it was, I think we got it in November.
What was that interest rate on that bridge loan?
I think we started out at 8.5.
That's not bad back then.
And, the story gets better. So we buy the place, and I do most of the work. And then I got laid off at Pullman because they got bought by somebody. So I actually was working. I finished up the condo. And we ended up, my budget was dead on. But we ended up selling it, thank God, for what I thought we were going to sell it for. That bridge loan went from 8.5 to 14 in 6 months.
Oof. Oh, wow. Yeah.
So the idea, whenever somebody says, we've got this debt, the government's got this debt, and don't worry about it, interest rates are going down. We got a, president when it comes to me, he's a financial buffoon when it comes to this stuff. I mean, don't worry, interest rates are going down, down, down. When you start borrowing more and more and more, rates go up, not down, because people look at you going, wait, if all of a sudden... And everybody tells me that can't happen again. It's like somebody telling you it can't be hot and humid.
Whoever says it can't doesn't know history.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you what, the people that are there, there's an awful lot of people out there that basically have their entire thesis from the standpoint of the markets on that can't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have pointed out to them that there's two ways to really get reamed in the market. And the first one is to be absolutely certain that some company has the absolute answer to something and nobody else is going to be able to knock them off. Okay? That's the first way. Because that's exactly how you end up with someone getting cut in half.
Read Sony, eBay, go back.
All of a sudden they get cut in half with no warning, right? And the other one is that to believe that somehow there is no possible way that the cost of financing is going to spike on you when corporations never pay bonds off. They always roll them.
Yeah.
And you don't look at their current ratio.
Well, the government never really pays anything off. Well, they roll them too. Yeah.
Well, I understand that. But the idea that that will never happen, so I don't have to worry about the total amount of debt that's on their balance sheet and what the tenor of those notes is and when they come due. Okay? And, oh, boy, is that a mistake. And, oh, by the way, that second piece of information isn't in the summary page that you find on the various finance sites. You have to actually go dig through the reports.
Well, you know, what you just mentioned, Carl, and I know, you know, kind of explain what I'm talking about this to Hal, but you just mentioned is one of the most fascinating things about being in the business I'm in, and one of the reasons why I'll probably stay here till I carry out feet first, is the way the market values companies.
Tom, is the elevator big enough for you? Because you're 6'4". I don't know if you...
One of the elevators is...
Your head might get closed by those doors as they're hauling you out.
Well, one of the elevators here is very small. I think it's one of the first automatic elevators in the city.
Oh, really?
Wow. Well, yeah.
Cool.
If you go into our elevators, one's a lot bigger than the other. The little one was there...
You need to come out the service elevator, right?
They got a big one of those in the back. But
it has to be at least 6'4".
But Hal, what I'm talking about is all of a sudden the market, you know, it's Hal Inc. Hal's this innovator. He gets, you know, this thing is a zillion times earnings and half a zillion times revenue, and Hal innovates every year. He does this, and it's priced to the moon. You know, sort of like railroads when they came out, TV. And all of a sudden, one year, one day, one month, the market somehow says, man, this Hal's pretty damn smart, but looks to me like they just now are kind of just a retailer, and they're going to get priced as a retailer and not as this innovative place. If you can time that, it's one of the most fascinating things. I mean, you look back, eBay was like that. And I wonder if the same thing is happening now to Microsoft and is about to happen to Apple.
Well, Microsoft went through a couple of those phases, right?
Yeah, well, I'm
and
saying...
they were able to rebound?
But I'm not talking about rebound in price because they keep growing and they do well.
I mean,
well.
Rebound in terms of innovation?
Well, rebound in terms of people's perception, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But someday, somewhere, Apple is still going to be incredibly profitable company. But
honestly, I have an iPhone now, and I don't understand the appeal because I think my Samsung phone was far superior.
Okay, but the appeal is all the stuff they sell where they lock you into the Apple world.
I mean, talk about gouging.
Okay,
they're freaking earbuds and their headphones.
I understand that, but I'm saying at some point...
My goodness, I don't know how people can do it.
But I'm saying even if they're a retail gouger, my point, and Carl can critique me, my point is even if they're a retail gouger, it still is not priced like an innovator. And when you look at, you know, the, like, someday, one day...
They've done a really good job of selling their products to a small group of people.
But I'm saying that does not...
And they're willing to pay those way above normal prices.
But that still does not generally get valued like an innovator. It's a real high-end retailer.
No, it's valued like a marketer, like Nike.
Yeah. Right? But I'm saying all these different levels. I mean, if you could predict... How many years did we go where if you shorted eBay, you got carried out feet first, for God's sake, and all of a sudden one day, they look just like a retailer to me, and all of a sudden...
Yeah, eBay was kind of fun when it was auction only.
Yeah.
Now it got displaced by Amazon pretty quickly.
Yeah. And so, like I say, Apple is still priced, what would you say, Carl? High-end retailer. They're kind of half and half, aren't they?
Well, and the thing is that when you look at the there's a danger in that too, because from the standpoint of Apple, the innovating part is way in the rearview mirror. Okay.
Well, yeah.
I mean, if you look at you know their phone releases over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, there's no innovation in there. It's minor incremental improvements. Much like what Google's doing with the Pixel series, same thing. Same thing Samsung's doing with theirs. Okay, I mean, you know, there's a a line change here and there.
To me, it's
actually,
all commodity, those phones.
Well, it pretty much is, right? So, I mean, you know, okay, yeah, this one's got a little bit better camera or, you know, a little bit bigger
battery.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff doesn't affect me at all.
The CPU is a little faster, but you know, you're talking about incremental improvements, okay? It's the normal quality improvement that anyone expects in any kind of product over time. There's no innovation in there. There's nothing that stands out and says, this is something no one else has. Okay, those days are gone, and yet the premium that Apple as a company has,
yeah, it's crazy,
is still there from that. And same thing with the PCs, with the computer side of the company. And so, you know, the danger there is that at some point that comes out and they just become a high-priced luxury style consumer
product. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. And there's a different market pricing to those two spots.
There is a huge difference, because one is, you know, okay, this is a fairly nice little stable. I mean, someone could shoot at you, but assuming that they don't manage to knock you off your pedestal with the way people think of your company and your brand, you know, you've got a fairly decent, stable cash flow that comes out of this firm, okay? And that's all fine and well. But you're not going to see, you know, 40 PEs out of that or something like this, right? And yet, on the other hand, you've got, well, you know, these guys may come up with something that is absolutely brand new and, you know, nobody else has and nobody else will ever have. And you know, it's different.
Well, yeah, the design of a Apple product is really nice, but to me, it's just not worth the price. And I don't know if people are going to continue to pay that premium for that design aspect in their marketing.
Well, I'm not a phone maven, but the other phones cost just as much as Apple, don't they?
Yeah, well, but my Samsung phone, when it comes to like typing and editing, and then the voice to text, the iPhone is just, in my opinion, horrible. That's what I like my Samsung. I like the.
But I mean, the Samsungs are
next.
They're the same price, aren't they? All like $1,300-$1,400.
Oh, good God! See, this is the thing.
Well, you can get better deals. I think you get better deals on a Samsung. But I just I like the portability.
But I mean, it's not like Apple's $1,500 and the other ones are $500 like it used to.
Yeah,
be.
But I like the portability.
Well, now, hang on a minute.
Not everything's locked into the eye technology.
Well, Carl, educate me, because my phone's 10 years old.
So the dirty secret in the cell business today is that you can buy unlocked Pixels, which are not carrier connected, okay, from Google, directly from Google's store. They are every bit as good as the Samsungs.
Yeah,
they. In fact, I would argue that from a camera point of view, which of course
they use Android, right?
Yeah, it's an Android device.
Yeah. Okay,
but from, you know, from a standpoint of cameras, which is what a lot of people care about, is the camera quality, right? I mean, that's one of the big selling points.
I've taken one picture in mine in 10 years.
But a lot of people buy them for that reason. All right, it's not that they have a better sensor than anyone else, because everyone gets the same sensors, because none of them actually make the sensors, right? Most of them are made by Sony, the IMX series and such. But they have the best software on the actual readout and product.
Okay, who's they when you say?
Google, in the Pixel series.
Okay, then what do? You go to T-Mobile and they give you the little chip and you put it in there?
Well, on the current ones, you don't need a chip at all. And in fact, Apple started removing the physical SIM slot. So now it's electronic. Okay. So when I.
Yeah, now it's an eSIM.
An eSIM. So now what you do is you log into your, you know, your account on T-Mobile or Verizon or, you know, AT&T or whatever. And you put in that information on there and it sends it down over the air and activates it. And your SIM is now in the phone. Now, I don't like this. I want a physical slot and a physical card, because if the phone breaks and you need to get another one and this one is no longer functional, you've got problems, because when you go to activate the other one, you have to transfer it out of here. Well, how do you do that? Because you can't sign into your account. You know what they do now, Chief, is, oh, we said, you know, how do we prove this is you? We send you a text message, right? Well, that's nice. My phone's broken.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. So the thing is, there is a serious issue that arises without having physical SIM cards if something goes wrong. All right. But so I really don't.
But
like
the other way, when they say unlocked, then T-Mobile would send you the SIM card in the mail.
Well, the thing is that being on... Well, with the physical
slot... You just pop the SIM card out of your old phone.
I just take it out of the old one, put in the new one, and it instantly works.
Okay, what if you... Right. All right.
You have to have a needle to do that, though.
Well, they give you one in the box.
Right, okay, so yeah, but we got a dash here pretty soon, guys. But I have a question. How one of these days, I couldn't believe we had the bad inflation number last week. I don't know how that... It must have been a lot worse for that to come out. But is anybody ever going to reconcile the numbers for the last 25 years with like Home Depot?
No, because having these...
Oh, good God, no.
Having these low inflation numbers when inflation's really much higher means the governments can raise taxes without raising taxes.
Yeah, well, my Audrey...
You trap more and more people in these income brackets.
Audrey dragged me to this home show in Tinley. You know, when I say she dragged me, I was in that business, and when she looks at a house and talks to people, well, the thing needs new windows, she needs to have a reasonable expectation of what the price of that stuff is. And she's telling me she thinks that in the last 5 years, the price of windows are up at least three times.
Last 5 years,
they're probably up three times.
That doesn't surprise me. Nothing surprises me when it comes to this.
My goodness, I bought a battery. I remember selling batteries in college at Sears Automotive. You could buy a Diode for $89. The last time I bought a battery is well over $200.
Oh, yeah, what's with... Audrey just got one, and it was in the high, like, you know, almost $300. The guy charged her $100. The car she has, you can't just put the damn thing in. You got to take all this crap apart to get at it.
Oh, yeah, that's why I won't buy a new car.
There's all kinds of start-stop crap, which, you know, one of the things that is, you know, thank the maker, now that can actually be removed because it was a game on the emission standards anyway. It didn't actually do anything for you. But what it did do was require more expensive batteries because the discharge rate is so much higher, and it burns out starters.
Yeah.
So now, you know, I mean, there's a double screw. Most cars, you know, your starter, I got 300,000 miles on my Mazda. It's got the OE starter in it. It's never been out of the car.
Well, you know,
if that thing had start-stop, I'd probably be on the fourth one by now.
Well, you know, it used to be, you know, batteries kind of died little at a time. Well, this is, you know, a while ago. It's probably, you know, 15, 20 years. And so I met my mother. It had to be 20 because she was still alive. And it started a little slow, right? And I'm thinking, that's kind of weird. I better have it checked out this week. So I never will go shopping on Michigan Avenue, right? So for some reason, I had to get something, and it was for her or a girlfriend, who knows. And I got to go to this nice store. So I pull in, and I find a spot near Michigan Avenue. I come out, and the thing is dead as a doornail, and I'm going, what the hell? So
okay, what happens there, my daughter had it happen to her. One of the failure modes on starting batteries is that one of the cells can short. And if that happens, then, you know, the alternator is running. It's trying to charge. However, that particular cell is shorted, so it doesn't charge, right? When you come out, but everything seems to be fine.
You know, it might have been clicking a little, but not enough to...
Well, but like nothing, right?
Yeah.
Now, here's the fun part of that, all right? If that happens on a lot of cars... And this, like I said, this happened to my daughter. I went over there with my truck and my big beefy cables, and I couldn't jump it because the drain from the short was high enough that it couldn't be jumped.
No, yeah.
So I had to take the battery. So, you know, I took the battery out. We took it down to the store, bought another one, brought it back, popped it in, and started right up.
Well, I called AAA. You know, I'm parked right across from Pauline Cathedral, right? So I called AAA. The guy shows up to jump it. He goes, this thing's toast. He goes, I go, so I got to get a new one. He goes, yeah, I got one right here. He had about, you know, all the about 10 different sized batteries in there. He plunks it in for me, charged me like, I don't know, $85. Next day, I went to Costco. They were $85. The guy didn't hose me at all. I'm thinking, that's the best deal going. Now, what would it be? $500?
These EFB batteries.
That kind of service, yeah.
Well, here's one of the things. If you ever have one of those cars that has these EFB batteries in it, and most of them are. Just go over to Napa, get an AGM that's in the right group size. It'll fit, and it will work as well as or better than and last as long as or longer than the EFB and be about the same price. And it's a better battery.
Hey, Carl, in my experience, if you deep cycle a car battery,
you're screwed.
You have the life roughly, right? That's my experience.
One time on a starting battery that you do that, does permanent damage to the capacity.
I've noticed it about a
deep
half.
Cycle, guys, means that you let it go all the way dead.
Well, basically,
yeah. If you actually kill a starting battery, you will do severe damage.
I thought if you trickle charge it back up,
doesn't matter.
For a while, if you charge it slowly, you could nurse
it. It's not designed a deep cycle.
No, I have a diesel.
It's not like an RV battery.
I have a charger with a desulfation cycle on it that will allegedly rescue it. And it will kind of, but the capacity loss is permanent.
Yeah, nothing you can do about it.
Yeah,
it got help if you just started.
That's probably why you had a slow crank, right?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Once I detect that in any of my cars, I go ahead and I just change it because I know what's going to happen. I'm going to be out in the middle of BF somewhere and click, click, click. You know,
all right, guys, we got gold and silver coming flying back all the same amount they were up yesterday, which is wild. We got the market coming back a little bit, but probably nowhere near a.
Well, the federal government's created inflation, so it's gonna.
Bitcoin is sitting on the toilet, having an explosive event again. So,
boy, how much?
And by the way, there's an awful lot of leverage in there. So, guess what?
Well, this MicroStrategy, I can't conceive what those guys leverage.
A Bitcoin purchase, and it goes up 10%. You can get a 500% return, but the opposite is true. Just as huge.
What do you mean? If you leverage it totally,
if it goes down, you're going to get killed, crushed.
If you leverage it totally, you get an infinite return.
Well, yeah. I'm just waiting for MSTR to blow up completely.
Oh God! Yeah, me too.
I wonder what percent of Bitcoin was leveraged. I bet it was a lot.
Oh, most of it.
Yeah, in one form or another.
And then the rest of it is sitting in a cold wallet where somebody lost it. They lost the password.
Hey, Carl, and if you want, feel free. On Friday, we don't know much about it, but let's talk a little bit about this Mexican situation because one of the
I have
sources in the building, shall we say, that keep me posted on what's happening in some of the smaller towns.
Yeah,
lately it's been horrible in some of these towns. The outcry to the extent that the citizenry can do it toward the government, especially remember we talked about that mayor down there getting shot and brought to light. The outcry to the government, the pressure from the population is increasing dramatically against.
Well, the president is paid for and bought.
Okay,
by those
cartels. What I'm saying, the pressure from the population has probably never been higher.
Well, you know what? If there's a reason, if you open up an encyclopedia,
Nixon's drug war for that whole thing.
But if you open up an encyclopedia and look for legitimate reasons for revolution, you'd find that on the top of the list.
Without a doubt. Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you very much. SP Futures up 7. NASDAQ Futures up 102. Back tomorrow. Stocks and Jacks.
That's all, folks.